Hello. Praise the Lord. Yeah, as I told you, I'm Wesgo Jeffan, a student, a Christian minister, a youth pastor, evangelist, a preacher, chief advisor in the Scripture Union Fellowship at school, and more. So, today we are going to discuss a very important topic, and I hope and pray that it will touch someone's heart. It will also help someone somewhere, somehow, to come to know God. But at first, let's have a simple prayer. Then we shall continue. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come into your presence. We are your children, we are sinful. But please pardon our sins and forgive us. We are men born of sin, but you are God. Let your grace of forgiving and your grace of mercy be filled in our houses and those our hearts, so that we may fulfill what you tell us to do. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, and also support us in our daily life education. Give us the knowledge. Give us your spirit of wisdom, your spirit of understanding and knowledge. You are the greatest God, and as you are going to discuss about your word, please let your word be near us. As you used the word to create the heavens and the earth in the creation process, our loving God used the same word to touch someone. To touch that someone wherever she or he is. In Christ Jesus' name we can believe. Amen. So today we are going to look at Jesus. It is wide, but now we shall first be summarizing it or learning about Christ bit by bit. So, the Bible says in John chapter 17, verse 3, it says, let me see, good news. I'm using the good news. John chapter 17. I'm using the Good News version. It is best for students because it is simple. The Bible says in John chapter 17, verse 3, that now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent, or whom you have sent. And also, we see Jesus telling us how to have peace and also treat others. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, he told us that, a new command I give you, love one another, and I have loved, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So, we see how important Jesus is. Because at first in chapter 17, verse 3, they tell us that this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you sent. We see that God sent Jesus. Jesus is important on earth and also in heaven. But again, the way he gave us the other command of love in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, that means there are certain sorrow issues that God and Jesus takes very serious. So first we see Jesus as God's son and also king. So Jesus in heaven was speedier in heavens. But now, Jesus in the heavens, or let me say, Jesus in the whole universe, he is the second powerful being. I'm sorry. So, Jesus was this, okay, Jesus is the second being in the whole universe, but he was made a man, born of a woman, and also you can see in the Bible that he was lowered, he was lowered from even lower than the angels. In simple terms, he was demoted, not just because of bad conduct or what so, but he was demoted for us, God's will to be done, as we see in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. So, difference is, he was lowered, but now, as Isaiah 11, verse 1, tells us that he had the seven spirits of the Lord. He had the seven spirits of God. Those are the seven spirits that stand around God's throne. But remember that also, even though he was lowered, he was destined for heaven. In simple terms, Jesus was heaven bound. So, these are showing us how important is Jesus, and also how Jesus may look like. Jesus is called the firstborn of all creations, and all things were created through him and by him. This means that Jesus was a co-creator. As we can see in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 17, it says, he is the image of the invisible God. This means that Jesus imitates God's qualities. It continues with saying that the firstborn over all creation, Jesus was the only being or creation that God created directly with his own bare hands. Verse 16, it says, for by him all things were created. This means that God is the grand creator and Jesus the co-creator. So, God is like a director, like you can see in movies, whereby when they are acting, there is a creator and then the character. There is a director, then the character. So, in creation time, God is the director or was the grand creator. Then here, according to the scripture, you are saying Jesus was a co-creator. For by him, chapter 16, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Visible, as you can see, physical futures, as you can see, you yourself, me, and also invisible, the spirit creatures like angels, the heavenly beings, even though some heavenly beings repaired or existed, but they were created. They were not created as they are. Satan was not created as Satan. He was created as a perfect angel. But now, certain things make us fall greedy, proud, and also. So, verse 16b, it continues, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. So, this gives us a very clear view of life of Jesus, life before earth, life of Jesus before he came on earth. How was it? Even before the earth was created. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. That means Jesus is having the keys of authorities, the keys of thrones, the keys of rulers, the keys of authorities. Let's turn to John chapter 3, verse 16. Let's see. John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And let me continue 17, and we see, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God, this one and only Son. So while on earth, Jesus fulfilled many things. He not only taught his followers and people nearby about God, but also helped them to draw Christ to him. As we saw in John 17 verse 3, that this means everlasting life, coming to know you, God, and the one whom you sent. So Jesus gave up his life for us to get everlasting life. We must not only believe in Jesus, but also have faith in him. So God was willing to send him as a ransom. Remember, here we are seeing Jesus as a ransom. And the ransom is defined as a consideration paid to release a captive or captured property. But according to the scripture, here the ransom means to deliver, especially in context of sin or relative penalties. So God was willing to send him as a ransom, and Jesus also died to give us liberty from sin and death. But let's also see John chapter 3 verse 63, verse 66, and then we shall also pardon the whole chapter and we see what it means for us. John chapter 3 verse 36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. To get a clear context of this, let us read the whole chapter. John chapter 1 verse 1 to 36. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. Nicodemus was a great person in the Jew country. Also, as the scripture is saying, Nicodemus, his importance was that he even sat on the council. And yes, you know, the role of a council is to enact the laws of a certain council. So Nicodemus was great. But now, the verse 2 says that he came to Jesus at night and said, I think Nicodemus was great. But now, Nicodemus was curious. Curious about something that we are going to see in this same chapter. Was curious to know the secret that the Bible also says that the angels also were yearning to know that secret. So he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. Nicodemus just knew. The Pharisees persecuted Jesus, condemned him, but they knew that he came from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him. What can we get to know? If you are away from God, you cannot do anything. So what helped Jesus to do to perform the miraculous signs is that he was sent from God. He was of God. He was born of spirit. So in verse 3, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. I repeat, John chapter 3 verse 3 says, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. So, how can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. So, Nicodemus again, he was amazed. Because now, the things that Jesus was telling Nicodemus were very, very different. Telling you that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. This made Nicodemus feel like, wow, it is amazing. So, that curiosity led Nicodemus to ask, how can a man be born when he is old? Already I'm having white, grayish hair, I'm having beards, I'm having grandchildren, almost seeing my great-grands. Now, how can I be born again? So here, Surely, Jesus, they pray, surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. So, Nicodemus reasoned, because now, Nicodemus knew the law, knew the system of administration according to the, during that time. He was more of experienced in politics, experienced grandfather, the soul of father. He knew many of the things, but the difference is that Nicodemus knew earthly things, physical things, tangible things. That's why he also reasoned in his reason and in his brain then said, sure, he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And that is true. So, saying that, sure, he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb, is right Jesus to answer that. In verse 5, says that, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. So, in verse 5, again Jesus repeats, I tell you the truth. This means we must take these points very, very vital. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. What does Jesus mean when he says that? Born of water. Being born of water, that is a literal baptism. The baptism of water. The baptism of John the Baptist. The baptism that we perform according to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20 and 21, to baptize all people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here you are born of water, you are baptized. After becoming a born again, you accept Jesus Christ. You qualify to be baptized of water because of your faith and the Spirit. Now, to be baptized of the Spirit, there is a certain scripture that says, there's a certain context that may say that you are drunk of the Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit first is acquiring the Holy Spirit, accepting the Holy Spirit, asking for the Holy Spirit, accepting the Holy Spirit, and also letting the Holy Spirit indwell in you. Chapter 6, verse 6, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to a spirit. Remember, when we shall continue studying the Bible, we shall also get to know the difference between the flesh and the spirit. As you can see, Jacob and Esau in Genesis chapter 22. So, the flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. So, here Jesus meant that physical things or worldly things, because the flesh, according to the scriptures, the flesh means selfish personal interests, desires and ambitions, or passions or pleasures. So those pleasures give birth to pleasures, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. And remember in Romans 8 we see, 8 verse 7 and 8 we see that the Spirit is life-giving, but the flesh is useless. That means flesh gives birth to flesh, flesh leads to death. So, life gives birth to life. That's why in verse 7 you say, you should not be surprised at any saying. Don't be amazed. You should not be surprised at my saying. You must be born again. So, what did Jesus mean when saying you must be born again? That means, every person in this world, you are obliged. You are mandated. Okay, it is necessary, let's say. It is a necessity for you to be born again. But now, what is the process of being a born again? We shall also see in this chapter. But quickly, the process of being born again is by confession. You first confess. You confess Christ, confess your sin, and also acknowledge Christ as your personal Savior. Then you become baptized. Then you also be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then you start doing God's work. You were born again. Chapter 8. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. I repeat, verse 8. The Spirit blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. When you are born of Spirit, the Spirit moves you wherever it pleases. But now, to understand this context better, let's continue. Because in verse 9, Nicodemus asked, how can this be? Verse 10, you are Israel's teacher. Jesus said, you are Israel's teacher, said Jesus. And do you not understand the things? So, Nicodemus was a scribe. Nicodemus was excelled academically, and also qualified to be a national teacher. But now he did not understand the things. One man said, a certain person said that the things of the Holy Spirit are very, very, like sometimes, like some people say, that difficult to know, but they are easy. Even though you have degrees, more than those of a thermometer, or have the IQ of Albert Einstein, you may not understand the Bible. But now, a person who has never gone to school, I'm not meaning that you don't go to school or you don't pursue one, but now a person who has never gone to school can explain the Bible very well. So, it just applied to Nicodemus. He was educated, what so? What I'm meaning is that pursue spiritual things first, put God first, then these things will follow. So Nicodemus was a scribe, was prominent, what so, but he did not understand these things. So in verse 10, that's why Jesus said that you are Israel's teacher and you do not understand these things. In verse 11, I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. So here Jesus is saying, in simple terms, you are even discerning. You are discerning from what is happening. But now what you like is believing and also having faith. That's all. Is what you're lacking. That's why he said, I tell you the truth, we speak of what you know. You know what we are speaking of. We are speaking of Christ. We are speaking of God. We are speaking of everlasting life. And we testify to what we have seen. We're even giving testimony of the miraculous things that are happening. God is healing people. God is healing sicknesses. God is filling people drunk with the Holy Spirit. God is making miraculous things. School fees is being formed. As you just accept Jesus Christ, and you will discern from the events, and then you say, wow, this is the power of heaven. This is the power of our heavenly Father. You will discern from the events. School fees is God. Everything is God. The diagnosis is God. Because we serve a God who will provide. So in verse 12, Jesus continues, I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe, how then will you believe if I speak of revelatory things? Now, it reached to an extent of people of that time, they say they knew nil. They knew nothing. Even things of other things, they did not even believe. But now, this that Jesus asked, how then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? So here, Jesus is talking of the main thing, faith. Verse 13, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, and that is the Son of Man. This gives us a clear view of the story of Enoch, the story of Elijah, and the word so. The verse says, Enoch was transfired so as not to see death. Enoch, in simple times, may not have gone to heaven. But now, God transferred Enoch so as not to see death. Now, we don't know where Enoch is. But God knows. So Jesus is making it clear. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, and that is the Son of God. Verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the man of God, the Son of Man, must be lifted up. Here, Jesus is telling us what will happen to him. What will happen to him at Golgotha. 15, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. If you believe in Jesus, you will have eternal life. Because the one who sent him is the source of life. The one who sent him is life. That's why in verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one and begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God cared for the world. Here, the world is not the earth. But here, the scripture is meaning the world, the people who live in it. So, God cared. God see that these people are going in hell. They are going to eternal torment. They are going to what we call the eternal death. So, that care moved God with that love that he gave his only begotten Son as a consolation, as a ransom, that we, if you just believe in him, the only thing is believing in him. If you just believe in him, you shall not perish. But here we have a future, we have a hope, we have an assuredly promise that you will have eternal life. In verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. As we, Christians, we also ought not to condemn people. It is wrong to condemn people. It is wrong to condemn a sinner. But now, you just show a sinner the way, that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That's why it continues that, but to save the world through him. Through Jesus yourself, you become born again. You become saved. You are separate from the world. In verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned. You just accept Christ. Sin is sin. You may not have murdered, but you have surely lied. You have committed sin. You will not be condemned if you believe in Christ. It continues 18b. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So, you are condemned if you do not believe in Christ, because you are going into eternal death. Verse 19, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved the darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Evil, wickedness, sinfulness likes darkness. And sometimes they like invisibility. They don't want to be seen. But now, the scripture is saying, light came into the world. Jesus is light. What is the use of light? Surely, we use light to move at night. We use light to see. We use light to look for something under the bed or in the cupboard or wardrobe. We use light in many things, to write the house, to read books for students, to read the Bible for Christians and researchers and many more. So light is very important in our life. But here we are speaking about spiritual light. When light comes in darkness, darkness just disappears. So here, light has come into the world. But now men are loving darkness instead of light. Verse 20. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. That's why when you believe in Christ, you're recommended to confess and acknowledge him as your personal savior. Because being born again, it involves a public declaration, but that you know what? I'm now a born again. You are, let me say, you are ashaming the devil. You are neglecting. You are making public neglect of sins. You are living sin. Verse 20. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. 22. After this, So the concluding scripture is talking about Jesus and his disciples after they went into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time baptizing and doing what so. So the only thing that if you want a resting life, you must do is accepting Christ. Here, the way to become a Christian is by living by two key truths. And one of these two truths is accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior and acknowledging that he was raised from the dead. First, you must admit, believe and also commit. So God is always with you, and God has opened a wide open door saying, my child, you come and see the goodness of the king of my kingdom. God is calling you, saying that you come to me. That's why Jesus said that, come to me all who are heavy burden, who are feeling that the burden is so heavy for them. You come to me. In Christ, we find peace. There is prospering in Christ. There is transformation in Christ. There is prosperity in Christ. Wonderful. Thank you, God, very much for such prosperity. There is greatness in Christ. There is love in Christ. So when Christ comes, when Christ enters in you, everything changes. You don't remain the same. You're changed. And most important, you draw close to his Father. You are forgiven your sins. Satan is trying to mislead the world, but God is there. So he will be there for you the angels will comfort you. And also, we, your brothers, we also dare to strengthen you and comfort you. So as I'm concluding, you can contact me through email, if you wish, mwesugwajafali00@gmail.com. But now, if you wanted to accept Christ as your personal savior, you may repeat this prayer, this salvation prayer. Okay. Lord Father, what I say is what you repeat. Lord Father, I come into your presence. I'm a sinner, and I accept that I'm a sinner, but confess my sins and accept your son Jesus Christ. Mwesugwajafa, you repeat your names, you say your names. I'm Mwesugwajafa. I confess that I'm a sinner, but as you promised in your word, that this means everlasting life, coming to know God, and also the one that you sent. I admit my sins, and I believe that they will be pardoned. From today, I'm born again, and I request you to erase my name from the book of death and write it in the book of the living, the one that will get everlasting life. In doing so, I shall be your servant all my days. Thank you, God. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving life. I believe in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. You are now a born again. You can greet anyone that praise the Lord. Don't fear. Just greet anyone. Praise the Lord. The Lord loves you. And also you can follow Christ's example. So, members, our brothers and sisters, Christ is always with us. You just accept him. Everything will change. A family that was not peaceful, peace is brought, because Christ that you're accepting is the Prince of Peace. So after accepting him, why can't peace be in your household? I declare peace in your household. I declare the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in your education. I declare the power of healing to touch you, to touch your friends, to touch your family. In the mighty name of Jesus, I cast out every demon. I cast out every wicked spirit, and every power of darkness that wants to ravage life, I cast it in the name of Jesus. That spirit of premature death, I cast it in the name of Jesus. In the mighty holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ, every spirit of abomination, every spirit of stupidity, I cast it in the name of Jesus. That spirit of poverty is losing and lying now. In the mighty and glorious name of Jesus, get your power of healing. You get your healing now. You're being healed from every skinness. You're being healed from any bondage. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord Father, we come into your presence, giving back your honor and giving you grace and giving back glory to you. We pray to you and pray that you be our guide, and also your son Jesus Christ remain our personal savior. Every wicked spirit that is in their life, I bind it in the name of Jesus and throw it in the ambience and also in the lake of fire. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to lose and go to the dry to the dry land. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray and believe. Amen. I hope that again we shall discuss another time.